The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It is November the 29th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator, located in Lexington. In agricultural news, House leadership has offered up a 15-billion-gallon RFS for corn-based ethanol. A Canadian think tank says that nation has no need to move toward a renewable fuels economy based on corn ethanol, and USDA has named Joseph Glauber as the acting chief economist. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then I'll tell you about the 2007 Illinois Farm Economic Summit set for mid-December. I'll host those University of Illinois Ag Econ programs in Effingham, Bloomington, and Sycamore. More details later. Just after the bottom of the hour, don't forget to stay with us because meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat gained 10 cents to finish at $8.69. The March contract at 8.88 and a quarter, up 6.5 cents. In July futures, 18.5 cents higher today at $7.46.5. December corn futures down 3.75, $3.83.5. The settlement price, the March futures at $4.75, down 3.75. And the May contract down 3.5 at $4.11.5 for the day. Next year's December futures at $4.30.25, down 4.75. January soybeans $10.98, a penny and a quarter higher. The March futures at $11.15, up 1.5, and the May contract $11.22.25, up 2.5 cents. Next year's November contract down 5.5 cents today, in the red at $10.22. December bean meal futures at $2.92.10, down a dime for the day. December bean oil at $46.20, that's 7 higher. December live cattle futures from the CME group at 42.5 cents lower, finished 94.57.5. And the February futures at 96.65, down 40 cents. November feeder cattle down 19 cents at 108.66. And the January futures at 109.75, 50 cents lower. December lean hog futures a dime lower this afternoon. They finished at 54.77.5. The outside markets trading the January crude oil at this hour, $91.08 a barrel. They are up 46. February at 90.39, 36 higher for the afternoon. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,305, up 16 points for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is ADM Grain Group's Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
You're not in the home office today, are you?
No, we're out on the road, up visiting the Ottawa facility here on the river. And, of course, then we had a farmer elevator meeting here at Pitt Stick Pavilion. So I'm out of the office here today.
I haven't been to Pitt Sticks in a very long time, but if I recall, that's out in the midst, or at the time I was there, was out in the midst of nowhere just a bit. Is it still that way?
It's still out of in nowhere, but it's not that far from Ottawa. It's a real nice location to hold meetings. And they do a good job here of serving food.
All right. And then tell me about the ADM elevator there on the Illinois River.
Well, this is one of our key elevator points. A lot of the grain that moves out of our elevator here in Ottawa, of course, goes down to the Peoria processing plant. And then it can also go on down to the Gulf. So the bushels that we generate here in Ottawa either goes to the Peoria processing plant and or goes on down to the Gulf. And, of course, You can kind of look at the export sales here that we've seen this fall. Has been very, very active, and Ottawa Elevator has been supplying a lot of those bushels of corn that we've sold in the world market and moving on out into the world pipeline.
Now they have to have trucks come in there. Have they been busy today?
They have been. I'm totally amazed at the trucks that are coming. It's just a steady line. I mean, there's no line, but it's just a steady flow of trucks coming in from early in the morning until late in the evening. I forget what the fellows told me this morning, the millions of bushels that they have to arrive in December, and December is going to be terribly busy. I'll be surprised whether or not they can get all those bushels in or not, because they've bought a lot of bushels, and the month of December is going to be terribly busy bringing trucks on into this river location.
At this time of year, do they get in a hurry for fear that the river will freeze up? Or do they have the storage facilities?
Well, there's always that risk, but the Illinois River, rarely does that. But, I mean, it can. If you get into a two-week spell, you could probably freeze it up. But for the most part, nobody really plans on it being frozen up for any period of time anyway. But now, like our facilities, like over in Keysburg, Illinois, which is south of the Quad Cities or south of Muscatine, they pretty well got to have all of their stuff out of that facility here by about like December 10th, or otherwise it stays there until the river opens again.
We'd better talk a little bit about the commodity markets. Since we talked about the trucks coming in, I assume they were hauling corn.
And I think that kind of explains why corn was down 3 cents. I mean, this is the time of year that the market now is going to be fed a steady diet of corn, whether it's for December delivery or January delivery. Farmers are going to deliver a lot of corn, so that kind of feeds the pipeline. Now, this is corn that was probably contracted ahead of time. It was probably contracted for late November delivery or December delivery, whatnot. But as that corn enters the pipeline, then that reduces the demand on the spot market for the market to pull inventories into the marketplace, and therefore, you don't have that commercial support underneath the market because we got all we can handle right now as the deliveries come on in.
Let's stay with corn just a bit and talk about it historically. I want you to—I doubt that you have this in front of you, but I bet you can bring it up in your mind, the history, price history going back to 68, 69. I think prior to 73, the average corn price for lead option was $1.14. After 73 through the current period, the average lead option price, this according to some University of Illinois numbers that were released in their ethanol study, at $2.42. So we had a jump there in the early 70s to a new plateau. There's some thought, I suppose, that we could be set for another jump to a new plateau at this time frame based on the new demand built on ethanol. I talked to an ag economist this morning from the university, Scott Irwin. We were discussing some of this, and he was thinking that most of the economists are putting that something in the $3.20, $3.50 range, I suppose. Have you thought about that much and used your cycle analysis to come up with some ideas?
Well, I mean, you look at it from a chartist point of view, and I want to make it clear that from a chartist point of view, I mean, there could be, I mean, if you look at your individual futures contracts like March futures, May futures, July futures, September futures, and your December futures, you can see that this year we made during June when we made our highs in the corn market, we were making all-time record highs in the March futures contract, in the September futures contract, I think. I know for sure we did it in the December futures contract, and actually December 08 futures here trading in this 435, 437 area here when we had our high here a couple weeks ago on the, that was a new record high for December futures contract. So we are at the top end of this big range that we've experienced, you know, basically since 73. The only contracts that haven't made a new record high have been the May and the Julys, because that was when corn made its move to $5. That was done during that spring and early summer months. You look at the same thing with beans. We're in record highs right now in January futures. We're in record highs in March futures. We're in record highs before November 07 expired. It made a record high when it went up to the, that 1068. So we're at the top end of this range. Are we going to go through it and go into a new plateau? I suppose that can be, at least I think we probably got the best chance that we've ever had to do that, if there's a, you know, for one to kind of think that may happen. I'm kind of keying it off of the dollar. I know a lot of people are looking at different factors, but I think the dollar, if the dollar doesn't hold in this 75 range, and moves on down to 55, which I, you know, I can read the dollar chart down that low, down to about 55 cents. If that would happen, my guess is that we would probably go on up into some record high territory here in the grain complex. But that's something that we'll have to kind of see how that plays out. Probably any major hiccup in weather worldwide could maybe make us do that, because we are on a very steep demand curve, and the, you know, the market forces are wanting farmers not only here in the U.S. but abroad to bring more acres into production to meet this growing demand base.
Let me ask another question there, because I'm thinking a $55 would wreak an incredible amount of havoc in the economy. Am I wrong about that or not?
Well, it would go from a crisis to a panic, yes. I would say that we could probably view this, the dollar weakness that we've seen here from 80 down to 75 as kind of a crisis and kind of a worry deal. But if we would take a nosedive down to 55, that would be kind of a panic situation. And it could be quite turbulent.
Yeah.
Now, you know, how the market plays out at that point in time, I have no idea. My guess is that it would send the stock market down. It would send raw commodity prices higher. The Federal Reserve Board would have to figure out a way to come in here and defend the dollar. And I think that's kind of where they're at. They need to kind of defend the dollar. And one of the ways to defend it is through higher interest rates. But, you know, the subprime mortgage situation is supposed to is so bad that they're afraid that if they would start raising interest rates, that would make that deeper. So the Fed's kind of caught in here, but I think it's important that the Fed, you know, if it wants to defend it, it's going to, we're going to have to maybe see a higher interest rate, and they're not going to want to do that. And so my guess is, now it's, I think the strength that we've seen in the dollar here the last few days, a lot of that has been tied to short covering, because this is the last week of the month, and the month has been dominantly down. The key here, I think, as we move into early December, whether or not the dollar can stabilize and hold here at 75 cents, or if it begins to slip lower. I think if it would begin to slip lower, I think that would begin to really create some kind of panic situation here in the dollar.
Let me summarize very quickly, because we're simply out of time. But when you look at the corn market on the technician, and this would be purely tech chart, as far as a new plateau, you still say we're within the range of the old plateau from 73 to the current time.
And yeah, so we're at the top end of it.
Yeah, so we would have to really move much higher for out of that in order to set something different for an average price in the coming years.
Yeah, and and of course, the short term here, we kind of got a little double top, and I think from a seasonal point of view and a cyclical point of view, the market is probably ripe for a period of consolidation and some down here as we go into the expiration period of December futures.
Dan, have fun at Pit Sticks, and a safe drive back home.
Sure will.
All
thanks.
Right. Yep, Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. We really like to talk to him on Thursday afternoons. I hope you enjoy those conversations. If you do, you can pick them up off our website. The address is willag.org. It's willag.org. Sign up for the podcast of the Closing Market Report, the pre-opening and the opening market reports, as well as Commodity Week. At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the ag weather with Pete Levitt. Here's what the quick forecast from Ed Kieser says. Tonight in far northern Illinois, mostly cloudy, some light snow showers, flurries arriving in far northern Indiana, increasing cloudiness elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows ranging between 20 and 27 this evening. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, House leadership has offered a renewable fuels standard in the hopes of breaking the logjam of the Congressional Energy Bill Conference Committee. The offer is for 20.5 billion gallons by 2015 with a cellulosic-based ethanol and other advanced fuels target of 5.5 billion gallons. The Senate Energy Bill proposed 36 billion gallons by 2022. Yesterday, the National Corn Growers Association asked its membership to urge congressmen to pass a corn-based RFS of 15 billion gallons by 2015. Sources say energy bill negotiators are also considering inclusion of a biodiesel mandate. Congressmen are also trying to reach a deal on corporate average fuel economy. Sources indicate lawmakers are looking at a compromise based on the Senate CAFE version. A Canadian think tank believes Canada should not follow the U.S. lead when it comes to developing a robust ethanol sector. The George Morris Center says Canada does not need to find a substitute for oil imports because it is an exporter of oil. The report goes on to say ethanol would, quote, undercut a clear and far-reaching strategy to convert Canadian feed grains into meat and livestock for export to an increasingly prosperous world. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service has ratcheted down its testing of imported beef products from Canada from 10 to 5%. That's normal testing levels. Earlier this month, FSIS increased testing in the wake of a major E. coli discovery in Canada. FSIS Undersecretary Richard Raymond.
All products had tested negative, so we felt very comfortable as a result of the audits and increased testing that we could say the Canadian Food Inspection Agency is an equivalent food safety system to ours and that the product they're sending to us is very safe for the American public.
Canadian beef producer Tops has filed for bankruptcy after the recall of 21.5 million pounds of processed beef. USDA Deputy Chief Economist Joseph Glauber yesterday was named Acting Chief Economist. Glauber will assume the duty in mid-December, and he will continue to serve on detail to the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative as Special Envoy to Doha World Trade Talks. The World Trade Organization says agricultural trade negotiators will meet in Geneva on December 3rd. Also yesterday, Iowa State University agricultural economist Bob Wisner announced his retirement. And the American Wind Energy Association and the Department of Energy next Monday say they will release a joint report that examines barriers to industry growth and steps needed to reach 20% of the nation's energy supply by 2030. The industry hopes to formulate a five-year action plan based on report findings. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website, the address, willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, the Ag Economists at the University of Illinois are gearing up for a mid-December summit. I'll tell you more about that program, including the fact that I'll be hosting those day-long events. The first annual Illinois Farm Economic Summit is set for mid-December. It aims to explore the profitability of Illinois agriculture and where those farm fields might lead the state. Scott Irwin is the event organizer. He is also an ag economist at the University of Illinois and says a lot of thought was put into the profitability theme for the summit.
We all know that farm income is at record levels and very high prices. Land prices are going up rapidly along with cash rents and expenses. And a lot of strategic investment decisions depend on whether you believe this run of profits will continue or are we going to experience more like the boom and bust times we've experienced it different times in the past.
The morning session of each of the 3-day-long events will be dedicated to farm profit centers. It'll kick off with a session on commodity prices, followed by an economic exploration of the next farm bill, a discussion of crop yield trends, and finally, the impact of biofuels. That's just the morning sessions and revenue side of the event. The afternoon programming will deal with the agricultural inputs from lease agreements to production cost. Irwin likes to think of the summit as a useful benchmark for the critical thinking farmers and agribusiness people must utilize to move their operations forward.
We may not have that much better of a crystal ball in terms of what's really going to happen between now and 2010, but I think we've put together our program in a way that we'll provide a benchmark. What are the key issues that you need to think about in this question of profitability, and provide the views of some of our FarmDoc team members that I think are respected and bring to bear some very useful research on each of these topics.
The Illinois Farm Economic Summit will travel to Effingham, Bloomington, and Sycamore December 11, 12, and 13. For more information, visit the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Pre-registration for the event closes December the 4th. The cost is $50, including the noon meal. Walk-ins are welcomed. The price is $55 at the door. The program runs from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. and will be hosted at the Keller Center in Effingham, the Interstate Center in Bloomington, and the Center for Agriculture in Sycamore. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Time now for our Thursday afternoon look at the cash grain market. Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Basis levels holding up strong in your area, Bill?
Well, actually, Todd, on the corn basis, we've seen a little bit of weakness here in the last week. If you remember when we talked last, I think it was last Wednesday, we talked about getting up close to that peak basis level, and we've kind of backed off a little bit since then. But yeah, I mean, a lot stronger than what we've had. I was looking back there, if you go back to the early part of September, which is really our weakest basis levels that we had, we're about 37 cents better on our fall basis now than we were at that point on the corn. And on the soybeans, we're about 45 cents better, but the soybeans, you know, went from like a dollar under to 55 under the March future, so still not good levels. We're creeping up there towards some of the minimum levels on soybeans.
It would on the corn that be historically fairly accurate, the gain that you had over the last month and a half or so, or not?
This would be a little bit bigger gain than normal because we did see the basis weaken out there in late August, early September, to levels that we hadn't seen before. And we just kind of got over the, you know, what I'd call a 5-year average basis in the last week or so here. So, you know, we've come from lower than normal levels to back to a little better than average. So.
Now, Dan tells us that there was a lot of corn moving into their Ottawa facility for ADM grain. He told us that a bit earlier in the program. Do you think that there will be much pressure from those ground piles being picked up in the next month?
I think there can be some as we move into the first of the year, but so far things seem to be going pretty orderly. There is more grain moving now compared to past couple of years, just because I think there is some better bases out there, and guys know they have a lot of on-farm corn to bring in. So I think it's possible to see some weakening as we move into January, but not long-term, probably.
You know, is the corn moving, the grain moving now, is that coming from the farm bin and the farmer directly, or is that what's been stored in the elevator?
Well, I think that for the most part, you've got the elevator making space right now, but we are starting to see some corn move in off the farm. I'm picking up some need for a few more dollars in this crop year than guys expected.
Okay, thanks much. Anything else to add before I get your bids from you?
No, I don't think so. January corn is $3.74 tonight, and Soybeans, $10.59.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Yep, Bill Maris with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here in the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The child molestation trial of former Urbana teacher John White will take place in Decatur. A jury in Macon County will hear the case in a trial now set for February 25th. This afternoon, Champaign County Judge Harry Clem granted White's attorneys a change of venue, citing extensive local publicity in the months since White was arrested last winter. He's charged with molesting 9 girls in his second-grade classroom at Thomas Paine School. State's attorney Julia Reitz says moving the trial will also lessen the chance of a possible appeal, which she says would cause further pain on the students and their families. Former Governor Jim Edgar remembers Henry Hyde as a gentleman in the rough-and-tumble world of Illinois politics. The former Republican congressman died today at the age of 83. Edgar says though Hyde may have been best known for his unbending opposition to abortion and impeachment proceedings against President Clinton, he worked well with other lawmakers and brought dignity to Illinois on a national level. 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson called Hyde an institution and an inspiration. Lawmakers in the Illinois House are heading home today. There's still no solution for the state's mass transit woes. House Speaker Michael Madigan has adjourned the special session that Governor Blagojevich called to deal with the funding problem. Cleanup is expected to last about a day after a spill of a small amount of mercury caused some concern at Parkland College this morning. Spokeswoman Jody Littleton says the mercury spilled into the hallway from a classroom in Parkland's L Wing. She says the levels were not high enough to hurt staff or students. University of Illinois faculty and students are being told not to travel to Pakistan on university business. U of I administrators have decided to suspend programs that require travel to the South Asian country after a rise in violence and a decision to declare martial law and suspend the Constitution. Associate Provost William Brustein says the move is solely for the safety of U of I representatives and not a political message. He says university faculty or students currently in Pakistan are being advised to return. And Chicago Mayor Richard Daley says the FBI official he's tapped to lead the city's police department is uniquely qualified to implement new crime-fighting strategies. Daley today named Philadelphia FBI official J.P. Jody Weiss as the next superintendent, though his nomination still has to be approved by the city council. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL AM 580. Time now to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's not talk about what's happening here in the Midwest, but talk about the winter wheat crop around the globe. Probably start here in North America and make our way to the Southern Hemisphere then.
Okay, very good. We're taking a look at the hard winter wheat belt. Things are not quite as good out there as some of the reports would tend to indicate if one just looks at the emergence figures and stuff like that. The real problem in the hard winter wheat belt is in the southern half of the southern plains. It actually extends northwestward into Colorado, but includes a lot of western and central Kansas and much of Oklahoma and especially Texas. In these areas, moisture has been insufficient this fall after having a wet summer. Things dried out in a hurry, and before they had the wheat in the ground, the moisture had gone dry on them, and the emergence is not what it should be. So we're looking at crops which are really not very well established, as we only have a week or so before winter dormancy really sets in most of this area. And the failure to establish a good crop is going to hurt us in the spring, because most studies on yield, for example, show that about 50% of the yield potential related to weather is in the pre-winter weather conditions, and they have not been good. A few of the numbers there, for example, you see only 70% of Texas wheat has emerged, and 83% of Oklahoma, 96% of Kansas, that's not so bad, but the emergence is very spotty in some areas, and the coverage, the stands are really not very good. Going further afield, looking into the southern hemisphere here in the Argentine, which is the main source of winter wheat, or source of wheat at all from the southern hemisphere, in the West. We have had a freeze this past week in Argentina on two separate occasions, and this occurred at a time when the wheat was very vulnerable to sub-freezing temperatures. So a crop that did not get off to a good start in the Argentinas probably suffered this past week from freezing conditions there. A quick look elsewhere. Australia, as we know, had this drought through most of their growing season. The season is essentially over, and that crop suffered significantly. There is some good news in winter wheat. Northwest Africa is having a very good rain season this winter. They haven't had such good rains in the past. They're doing pretty well. European wheat has gotten some rain, which they've needed this past week, and that's improving prospects a little bit for that crop as it goes into winter periods. The Ukraine wheat is sort of a mixed bag. They're suffering some very cold weather right now, and I'm not so sure how well they got established before this cold weather set in.
Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.
That's Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on Thursday afternoons to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest and around the globe. You can hear him again, if you'd like, in most of our ag programming right there on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And that is today's Closing Mark Report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report with your director of agricultural programming, Dave Dickey. For him, I'm Todd Gleason, wishing you a good afternoon.